hearing, and we are here to listen to your comments and questions. Representatives of the Vincennes Water Utilities and Mr. John Scoff are in attendance. Council will not be taking any action this evening, but will do so tomorrow evening at their regular council meeting starting at 6 o'clock. Each of you have been provided with a copy of the rules for this public hearing, and we ask that you read the rules. You could sign up to speak, or were given a card to write down a question along with your address and name. Those who signed up to speak will go first. Tammy Burke is our timekeeper tonight. When you have 1 minute left to speak, she will hold up a green card. When your 3 minutes are up, she will hold up a red card. At this time, we'll have Mr. Rolligan to read Ordinance 11, 2016 and 12, 2016.
City of Vincennes, Indiana, Ordinance Number 11, 2016, an ordinance fixing the schedule of rates and charges to be collected by the City of Vincennes, Indiana, for the use of services provided by the City of Vincennes Municipal Water Works pursuant to Indiana Code Section 8-1.5-3-8, omitting formal parts, containing Sections 1 through 5. Me. City of Vincennes, Indiana, Ordinance Number 12, 2016. 16, an ordinance amending the schedule of rates and charges to be collected by the City of Vincennes, Indiana, from the owners of property served by the Vincennes Municipal Sewage Works pursuant to Indiana Code Section 36-9-23-25, repealing ordinance inconsistent herewith and other matters related therewith, containing Section 1 through 5.
Okay. You ready? I join Council President DeRose in welcoming you to this public hearing. The way we will do this procedurally is we will take public comments in the order that you signed up earlier this evening. In addition to introducing the person who is up to speak, at the same time I'll introduce the next person who will speak so that you can get ready and come down here to the podium. Our first speaker who has signed up this evening is Mr. Ted Sager, and then following him will be Mr. Tony Riley. So if Mr. Sager could come forward to the podium, we welcome you.
Well, thank you. Again, my name is Ted Sager, and I'm president of Farbast. And on behalf of Farbast, I respectfully request approximately about 12 minutes of your time today instead of three, and in order to shape my concerns, as we Farbast here utilizes around 20% of the usage. So is that possible?
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much for that. And also thank you for allowing me to be a part of the discussion on this very important project and process. I'd like to thank the community as well for the last 4 years, as 2 years under construction at the facility out there, and then the last 2 years in operating. And I think it's important to say that this community has responded very well to Farbast needs and held up their part of the bargain extremely well as well over those 4 years. And equally important, I think it's important to say that Farbast has over-delivered on nearly every promise that we made in this situation as well. We promised 300 employees coming in, and now we're at over 400. We promised $85 million worth of capital in Knox County, and we spent over $100 million in Knox County. We're very close in our utility consumption that we outlined for and some years ago. And I certainly hope we're exceeding our expectations for general community support that we've had. Now, that being said, just 2 years into the operation at Farbast and not even fully ramped up on the first shift of operations, we've been presented with this major project and major annual cost increase to us of nearly $700,000 on just water and wastewater costs. I know that it's difficult for us to absorb that, and I suspect that these rate increases are equally as hard to be absorbed by the average household in this community as well. However, I also understand the need for continued capital improvements in infrastructure, and I applaud the City Council, I applaud the Utility Service Board, and the Utility Management for their efforts in designing the project and the professional groups for the bond and rate studies that they've done. Although Far Best Foods may agree with many parts of the project, such as improving worker safety, improving the quality of the water, and adhering to all regulations concerning the wastewater, we do want to stand on record as objecting to a number of items that we, and possibly many citizens and other industrial users, believe need further discussion. I'm going to outline our concerns, and I'm going to supply a possible path forward towards resolving those objections as well. We have five major points of objections to the project and the procedure of the project going forward. First, number one, we've had a short notification, and I would consider a lack of transparency in the notices. The rate reports came out on March the 16th, and that is, in our opinion, that's a very short time period to review those things. The impending meeting notice of tonight came in short order, and certainly tomorrow, possibly approving the ordinances and things, very, in our mind, very short order. There's still Far Best was, we do not have the engineering reports that we have requested or the cost benefit reports on portions of the project that we also requested as well. There's still many questions that are yet to be answered by the Utility Service Board. Number two, the report and pro forma information used for this rate structure could definitely be flawed. Let me give you a few examples of why we feel that way. The pro forma year used for Far Best, for example, was July of 14 through June of 2015. We were still in a ramp-up period for processing capacity on our one-shift operation. Not all the processes were in place as well during that time period. No information was used from July 2015 through basically today. And we show our current increase in usage over that time period that I just mentioned there versus the pro forma period of 12 to 20% increase in usage. We certainly believe that's going to continue like that, if not get a lot greater. None of that was taken into account in this report. Pro forma expenses do not take into account cost savings or cost increases for the project. For example, the automated meter readings part of this project hopefully will reduce labor and administration costs, and yet those cost reductions weren't reflected anywhere in that report. There are some costs, we hope not, but possibly at the wastewater treatment facility as the new process comes on board, that could possibly go up and are possibly decreased, and I don't think those were reflected either in that report. And certainly capital projects like this should reduce repairs and maintenance costs over time, and again over time those costs are not savings were not taken into account. Another concern that we have with the report is the wastewater treatment plant upgrades. Design engineering was told to us to only be about 60% complete. That bothers me a little bit in the respect that this could lead to increased or decreased capital costs depending upon how it is finalized, and it also could lead to operating cost increases or decreases again as it is finalized. The report does not take into account the next 5 to 7 year planning on projected sales or inflation, and the water department debt service falls off about $300,000 annually in years 8, and that's also not accounted for. Number three reason why we object is the wastewater treatment plant project specifically. We object to using 10-year amortization on the $9.2 million needed, and we object to including $2.5 million in the payoff for the KCDC sewer line extension to Far Best being included in the large user rate, which extension was guaranteed not to cost Far Best anything as an incentive to locate us in the industrial park. Number four, water plant project specifically now for the water plant. We object to the $3 million one-time charge for redoing all four of the water tanks in the air, as this should be done on a regular basis and spread out over the life of a paint or repair cycle and part of a normal annual depreciation going forward. We're okay with the cost of repairing and repainting one absolutely right away, and then putting them on a schedule as we move forward through time over the next 5, 7, 8 years. We object to the $2 million automated water readings project, as no cost analysis was done, or at least it was not shared with us on that project, on that part of the project. And as the utility department has been going over to the automated meter readers over the last number of years, we believe that they can continue to do that over time. We object to the need to bring the new plant, the new water plant, to a capacity of 12.5 million gallons a day without a definitive study to detail future needs by customers. Number five, and the final reason why we object to this new project is in its state now, is these are 4 to 5 major capital items going on, $19 million worth of new capital items going on, and they're all there's 4 to 5 major projects going on at once. The new water plant, that's a major project on its own. The wastewater treatment upgrades are very significant, and the automated meter reading is a significant project, and refurbishing water tanks and the new lines from the wellheads to the plant are all significant. Our worry is on that, with so many projects going on all at once, is that that will definitely stress the management of the utility services themselves. And so we do have a suggestion for the council to review. First of all, we'd like the City Council and the USB and the management to agree to a development of a temporary utility advisory or review committee to review the entire project. This would be temporary and only commissioned for 30 days, and it could be done by meetings or conference calls. Farbest Foods would like to have at least 2 seats at this table with management of the utilities, as well as USB or anyone else that the council or utility service board may deem appropriate. The purpose of the review for the next 30 days would be to review the major aspects and determine the feasibility of working in the projects over time, as opposed to doing them all right now, and having their cost justifications determine the priority of when these projects would go into place. For example, the automated meter reading and the 4 water tank refurbishing projects going in over time. We'd like to see this review include a cost justification for the 12.5 million gallon a day new water plant versus a possibly smaller plant. And number two, suggestion is for this council, we would like the project or the revised project to be amortized over a longer period of time, more closely related to the life of the assets. Studies with bond counsel and the rate structure financing representatives will be needed for this to determine the best path forward on those revisions. We understand that if this 30 days was granted and we came up with reshaping things a little bit, that there's going to be some extra cost involved with that, with with the professional groups. And I'm going to tell you that Farbest is going to agree that we will fund the first $10,000 in costs associated with that, so as not to cost the ratepayers any more than if you would approve the project now. And third and finally, I think there should be an agreement to review the entire rate structure again in 3-year increments, and that may already be have been done in Vincennes, so as to allow for increases or decreases more often to account for variations in the project. So I know I've probably taken a couple minutes extra, and I appreciate your patience. Thanks again for allowing us to be a part of the process. And I want everyone to know that Far Best Foods remains 100% committed to the community and committed to continued growth in everything that we do. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker up is Tony Riley, the person who will follow him. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading the name. You were the fourth person to sign up. It looks like the first letter of the first name is J and the first letter of the last name is R, but I'm having some trouble. Your post office box 215, so if you recognize your... Huh? Oh, it's usually your handwriting. Is it your name?
Yes.
Oh! Well, okay, that explains it. I never could read... Okay, then the next person following Tony Riley is Phil Roth. Okay, go ahead, Tony.
My name is Tony Riley, and I live at 2051 South Schoolhouse Road, and I'm a new kid on the block. I got city water last year, and I love it. Believe it or not, I don't have to wait for the pumps to pump up to, like, take a full shower. I'm not here to complain necessarily about a price increase. However, the one thing that I am concerned about is the percentage differential on the outline here being 50% greater for people who live outside the city than live in the city. It seems like to me 50% increase in 1 year is a little extreme. I did a little research here a few years ago. Most of you know me. I had several of you as students in school, and that might be a bad thing or a good thing. I'm not sure. But the point is I recall reading an article here about a year and a half ago out of the Indianapolis Star about the economics of all 92 counties in this state. Knox County, a year and a half ago, ranked about 90th economically. And with the increased property taxes that seem to be going up every year, I'm a little bit concerned about for people who are on fixed incomes with increased property taxes, the increase in the water rates. And again, I'm not opposed to a raise in the water rates. I just think 50% in 1 year is just an extreme. If everything goes up 50% in 1 year, there's not going to be enough people left in Vincennes to live here. So that's all I hope. I stay within my 3 minutes, I hope. And Mr. Chatton, thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Phil Roth, and following him will be Jerry Hewitt.
Thank you. Well, I know this is not a lot of fun for anybody, and I believe that VU might be the fourth largest user of water with the Utility Services Board and sanitary. And I know that, where's John? We've met each other. We've gone head-to-head, haven't we, a few years back. But I guess this is where I'm going to stand on this issue. My first observation will be is that this is not your plan A, this is your plan B. So you're not doing all that you should be doing. You're doing what you think you can do. And so I want to throw that out there. I know that you can get as many cooks in the kitchen as you possibly want, and every time you come out, you're going to have a different recipe. At some point in time, you're going to have to put your trust in the people looking at the numbers and have done the homework. It's going to cost VU a substantial amount of money, as I know it will Far Best and in the hospital. I'm for this project. I think that one of the things, and I've read this thing from front to back, one of the things I liked in this document is sustainability. And I know that your debt service will be coming off for the sewer improvement, and if those dollars are going to be used for the sustainability and the maintenance of the facilities that you have. If anything, you probably don't have enough money in your rate increase to take care of what you do have. And I think most people need to recognize that. I think we need to move this forward. From my perspective, even though we're the fourth largest user of the water, if we would have any issues in regards to water or sanitary, it would be absolutely devastating to one of your largest industries in Vincennes, Indiana. We employ 1,000 full-time people. We have 2,000 part-time people. And as you know, we have students from all over the state of Indiana. And the quality of water, the delivery of that water, sanitary, we're also your largest payer in stormwater, I might throw that in tonight while I'm standing here, are all very, very important to us. All those things, and especially in light of Flint, Michigan, and everything else you see across this country, we ought to be very grateful that we're sitting on a fantastic asset. This Lake Michigan aquifer here is going to be economic development for us. Communities that have water that they can deliver are going to be communities way ahead of the game. The investments we made 13 years ago, I believe, invited Farbest to look at this community and the ability that we could deliver the sanitary needs that they need. And I think going forward, having excess capacity is going to be able to draw future businesses into our community. And looking at the rates and looking at what's happening across the state of Indiana, and when you look at what's happening in Indianapolis, I understand the political ramifications of always having to do rate increases. I do agree with Ted that maybe we should have done some increases a little more than since 2002 and try to ramp up some. But that's looking backwards, and so I think we need to look forward. I think this needs to be done. I think we just need to get on with it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next speaker is Jerry Hewitt, and he will be followed by Jim Winty.
Hello, my name is Jerry Hewitt. I'm a longtime business owner here, and I have a few concerns. I believe budget cuts and other steps must be taken before the rate increase is approved. The entire management should be reviewed at the water utilities. I don't have a copy of an employee handbook, but I feel the conduct of the USB has been negligent. I've known for some time that this needs to be brought up publicly. A Vincennes Water employee was arrested and convicted in a vehicle belonging to the water utilities in 2008. His alcohol content was 0.08. This offense occurred in Pike County. The person was driving a water utilities vehicle. According to probable cause, he apparently drove left of center, nearly struck two vehicles head on. The employee should have been fired at that time. By not terminating
Mr.
him,
Mr. Hewitt, I'm sorry. We're here to talk about the rates.
Exactly. I'm talking about the negligence.
Well, that'll
and
be
I
it.
Think we need to look into the budget cuts. I can skip all that and go farther down here if you'd like.
Would you please?
That's fine. Salaries and benefits are way out of line compared to all other city departments. Higher wages and insurance plans should be looked at for cost saving. Government exists to provide services to the taxpayer, not to provide Cadillac insurance plans and golden parachute to the employees of one department. I remember when the water utilities claimed the sky was falling with the levee issue, something like $60 million in repairs. The council listened to their claims and implemented the stormwater fee, only to find out the needed repairs were in the neighborhood of $6 million, much of which had been covered under various grants and contributions from the RDC. I implore this council to research more issues and obtain firm numbers, not just undocumented estimate from the water utilities. I feel that this issue should be tabled until further records and accurate numbers of the required work can be made available to the public. I've also noticed that most of the vehicles are not labeled and are for easy access to abuse. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Jim Winty. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And then following him will be Matt Schuckman.
My name is Jim Winty. I live at 430 North 2nd Street here in Vincennes. And a few of the people around my area kind of, I'm not very much of a talker, but they're wanting me to make sure you guys realize a few things that Are you taking into account the people on fixed income when you do this raise? Because there's a lot of people that are really worried about if they're going to be able to afford their water bills. Because that much of a raise, I mean, my salary don't go up that much every year, you know. And there's other people in other towns, well, there's other towns, excuse me, that's had, you know, raises like this, and there are actually people living without water in those towns, you know. And they're curious about what's going to happen to them because, I mean, are you guys just going to shut their water off? They can't afford it? You know, is all that they're asking, you know. I mean, I agree that there has to be an improvement in infrastructure around here. But you've got to take into effect these people that cannot afford it. That's about all I have to say.
All right. Thank you. Our next speaker is Matt Schuckman, and following him will be Mike Sievers.
Thank you very much. I'm going to be really short. In fact, I was planning to defer my time to the audience because the speakers have brought up some great points that obviously you need to take into consideration, but I will be brief. As Mr. Roth mentioned, and as I mentioned to you before, back the last time the rates were raised, it was for a much needed project, and we have as a utility service board, watching the management, watching the dollars being spent, we have tried to stretch those dollars as far as we can. And the projects that are in front of you, really twofold. Things that we're basically required to be done as far as the phosphorus mandates from the federal government and the upgrades to keep a consistent water flow, a consistent legal sewage discharge in place. And as was mentioned before, that was a tough decision so many years ago, and it led to some really good things for the community. None of us feel good about raising rates. None of us would be doing this unless the time had come where we need to make another commitment to the community so that we can bring in another far best, so that we can bring in more assets to the community to not only spread the costs, but to continue to grow the city and the county that you all are serving, because you're interested in seeing those things happen. So, again, I appreciate your time and your consideration of the project. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next speaker is Mike Sievers, and then following him will be Mark McNeese.
Actually, I didn't sign it to speak, will. I'll just take a moment. I chair the Utility Service Board. I'd just like to say that, board standpoint, that we are all appointed by either the mayor or by the city council. Taking responsibility you've given us, Art put a tremendous amount of work. We tried to address the concerns and questions of the community and the Sager family and far best. I do feel like it's important that we're fair to all. Across the board increase. I'm not interested, you know, I'm not thrilled to death about presenting something like this. You or being a part of the group that did. I think a lot of it is it's a confidence in the people that you appointed. You know, the water towers, I'll be honest, that's something that's a big expense, and they do need to be maintained. I wish the people 20 years ago had not done them all about the same time, but we're forced to deal with it now. You know, there's a whole lot of issues that we've had to look at. I'm confident that we've hired good engineering firms. I'm confident we've hired an outstanding financial advisor. Time to deal with the issues, trying to present something that will take this community into the future, give us a lot of opportunities for economic development. Look at the rates. Yes, we've done a lot at the Utility Service Board in the last 10 years, 12 years to address and take care of a lot of the problems ourselves. We're to the point, you know, may not be the best thing, but it's the process we're stuck to deal with, and that is that we are a municipal utility. I run a business. There's a lot of people here. But you know what? we don't get the opportunity to run the utility service board like a business. We have to stretch our dollars as far as they can go. We have to deal with the capital projects that are that we're forced to deal with or that need to be dealt with. We could let our infrastructure fall apart, and maybe we can be reading about Vincennes, Indiana instead of Flint, Michigan. We're not going to do that. The group that you've appointed has taken the responsibility serious. I think we've done a good job managing the assets of the city. I hope you continue with your confidence in us. We'll be reflected on your vote tomorrow. I think it's great that we're getting public input, but we've done a lot of hard work, and I think we've proposed what's the best interest in the long run.
The list I have for me.
We were a little concerned about what list you were reading from back there, too. So, is your decision getting any easier?
You're going to be?
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it that way. But, you know, the Chamber on Board was given the financial information as provided by the USB. Through no formal vote, our Chamber Board stated they were in favor of moving forward with these infrastructure improvements. Our viewpoint comes from more of a moralistic viewpoint. A few things the city can do to make a good city. One of those is providing clean, safe drinking water to our public. USB does a good job of that, and we want to make sure that they continue to do a good job of that. Rates, timing, decisions, those are yours and the USB's. Congratulations. But we want to make sure that things are fair for everybody concerned, and people are provided with the water that they need. Thanks. That's it. Keep it simple.
Thank you.
I won't take a lot of time. I think a lot of people here have expressed some of the things that I had written here anyway. I'm a business owner, also a landlord, but I'm here to speak mainly for my tenants. I'm not here to criticize, you know, anything about the water department or anything like that. You know, it's been reported that Vincennes has the lowest water rates in the state, and they need to come in line with other municipalities. I don't think so. I think that's what sets us apart. That's probably one of the reasons that Farbest decided to invest here. You know, we want things in Vincennes that set us apart. You know, if we are the same rate as everyone else, why would you want to choose Vincennes versus Washington or anyone else that has a closer thoroughfare to I-69? Better infrastructure. You know, our future potential could be hampered because of this. You know, 50% in 1 year is a lot. You know, I just got a property tax statement, 932% increase year over year. And then on top of that, you're going to hit me with another 50%. You know, that's a lot all in 1 year. You know, I request that maybe we can look at these fees and spread them out a little bit further. You know, I think 50% is a little much, especially for people on fixed incomes, like the gentleman said already. you know, I don't want, I feel like this has been a blind side to Farbest. You know, they came into our community, they've invested in our community, and then we're flip-flopping it and giving them a 50% rate increase. I don't think that's fair. I think there should have been a little more transparency throughout the process. And it does seem like this has been rushed a little bit. You know, why can't we spread this out, make sure we're dotting every I and crossing every T? You know, they brought up the stormwater. The estimates were that for that were greatly exaggerated from what they actually cost. How do we know this isn't greatly exaggerated cost as well? So I implore you to take all these into consideration when you make your decision. And I just don't want this to be the wrong message to the business owners that are looking at investing in Vincennes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Kent Utt, and president of Knox County Development Corporation. And again, thank you for your time and consideration of all this. And we represent the economic wing for Knox County and are hired in part from the citizens of Knox County and the city of Vincennes and Knox County. So we represent our membership is shared throughout the entire county. The USB provides water usage for countywide, approximately 75% of the residents are handled by the USB board. Water and sewer rates have not been raised, as we know, since 2002, and as you can indicate in the material that was provided there. 22 cities surveyed, the average is 76.61 per unit, and the proposed rate is around 71.56. So again, they haven't been raised since 2002, and not very many businesses can operate at those type of levels. Another big thing, and again, thank you for the investment that Farbest has made. If you look at the industrial park as a total out there, it represents about 1,800 employees, about 9.2% of the workforce, and about $67 million in workforce wages per year. So big impact for having infrastructure in place. As we look for attraction, and we're undergoing a strategic plan right now and looking at industries that we could have the most benefit for our area, and we, like most things, we try to look at diversification, but we're in a heavy ag related area, and one of the key things is, as Phil Roth had spoke about too, is that our access, if you will, to water. Water is something that we do not have a issue with obtaining in the area that we live. Many of the industries like Farbest are heavily users of water and sewage and for the nature of their type of business. And so as we look for targeted industries that we want to attract in the future, I mean you would look at companies like in California that are traditionally are troubled with water access and those type of things. So there are definitely keys that we have to have in order to be competitive and to keep the momentum going. And that's the good thing that I think that we see in our community so much. That and you know, I've lived here all my life and worked professionally in positions here all my life, is that we've got so much positive momentum going that we need to continue those efforts. That we have to have infrastructure in place to be able to handle the economic development future, if you will. I mean, it's no different than utility, gas, roads, or even broadband for that matter. So it's so important that we have those in place. So again, on behalf of Knox County Development Corporation, just want to say we're in support of this project.
Okay. Boy, was I loaded. I had about five or six things I wanted to comment on, but thanks to the Farbest representative here, I'm glad he came, and to some others, there's no need of going on repeating anything, but boy, I've loaded for KCDC, county government, VU. But since I'm restricted to time, I'm just going to relate mainly to you, the council. Okay? I have some questions for you. I have a copy of the financials here, too. And I just wondered, have each and every one of you went through these financials and went over them? Have you went through them completely? And the reason I ask is because I've had some members of the public call me and about some of you complain on a couple that they had talked to you with their concerns, and that you basically told them a night or two after this ordinance was presented that what nothing you could do for them, that you're just going to vote for it anyway. And I find that a little out of character. But anyway, the thing is, in these financials, if you went through these financials, I'm sure you'll find some things that, to me, just don't add up. But I will say this before I go any further. I'm not here to oppose this. I'm opposing the total, the $20 million part. I think it's about double of what we need. Thanks to Mr. Bushy here, he's answered all my questions. He took me on a tour. He showed me and told me what all they needed. I can agree with him wholeheartedly on the water. And the thing, in his favorite words, redundancy, I can agree with the lines from the well fields to the watershed, and you do not have a watershed, that thing in no way comes up to codes, and it definitely wouldn't pass OSHA inspection. And so I can agree with that, and I can see the need for that. And he says the mandates on the phosphorus, if it's a state mandate, I can see that. He showed me where the building's going. But still, I have a hard time believing that it's going to cost anything over $10 to $12 million. I see the $2.5 million to KCDC, and I don't have the time to get in that, but I disagree with that. I think county government and KCDC owes the city a little bit instead of the city owing them every year, especially since we give them over $200,000 a year, and every other month they're up here asking for more money. The residents, I have a question for you. Have you even considered what you're doing to the residents of this community? My wife and I are working on the rate's not going to be that high for us. But if you take a four-member household, they're right now paying anywhere from $70 to $80 a month for water and sewer. You give them a 50% to 65% increase, they're going to be paying $115, $120. And I'm sure Tim can relate. He's got four children. And him and his wife, I'm sure he can relate to those prices. That is ridiculous. 46% maybe, but just we'll say 50% of all residents here are right at or just right above the poverty level. They cannot continue to receive rates like this. They cannot do it. How are they going to do it? You think you're shutting off water now? You're really going to be shutting it off when you do this. And I just think that this needs to be going to the drawing board, back to the drawing board. You need to table this and check out some alternatives. Also, I have some alternatives that I think could be done, but that's not for me to decide. That's for you. Any of you that want to get a hold of me and ask me, I'll sure meet with you. But I'm not going to tell you over the phone. I'm not going to put it in an email or a private message. I want to talk personally. I think this is too much at one time to bear, and I want to thank the gentleman from Far Best out there. I appreciate some of your comments, and I surely understand. And that's about all I have to say.
Thank you.
Naomi Trombley, 805. I won't take much time. I do appreciate that. But I have one thing. Why are all of these projects coming? have they not? Why all of a sudden that we couldn't have had a 5% or 6%? We haven't had a raise since we could have had little raises, and we could have did these projects one at a time. Why did we wait till we get this astronomical problem? Don't you guys know that 60% the inner city of Vincent is 55 or older? Thank you. I'm 82 years old. I've lived 28 years on a single income. How hard is that? How hard is that? And I've maintained my home. And I've worked since I was 14 years old, and I should, by God's right, have a right to be able to keep my home. But please, if you're going to do these raises, do them in increments. Do these jobs a little at a time. And once we build a building, gosh, let's take care of it. Let's don't wait till it falls apart and we need $5 million to repair it, to build a new one. So I ask you, please don't raise it. It's on us old people. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Jane Henwood, and I'm coming here today on behalf of two groups. Some of them have already been spoken about, but I've just been praying about this and felt it in my heart that I needed to come to this meeting tonight and share with you. They mentioned the senior citizens. Senior citizens did not get a raise this year, so they're working on the same amount of money. And so my husband and I have been, since we were married, on a budget, and to raise something like this would be quite difficult. I also, my husband and I also volunteer for Helping His Hands, and so we see 60 to 70 people, families a week. I'm telling you, I don't know how they pay their water bills now. Their incomes are very low. We have many, most of them that live in apartments. I feel, first I thought, okay, they're going to be safe, but they will not, because the owners of those apartments will have to raise their rent in order to help pay for the water bills. So on behalf of the senior citizens and on behalf of those that are needy and we need to help them, I come today to speak to you, and I thank you, and I just will be praying for you to make the right decision for the city of Vince. Thank you.
My name's Tom Smith. I live at 1091 North Hillcrest Road. I'm going to make it very brief because what I was here to say has been said time and time again. I just hope that you're all listening. That a 50% increase would be catastrophic to a lot of people. Catastrophic in ways that you really can't imagine. I mean, there's people that can barely pay their rent, and taking 50% more on any one utility is really going to hurt them. We have several tenants that are in that predicament, and when I've talked to them, now we pay some water bills, and that's going to be a huge increase on us. Right now, our average is between $800 and $1,000 a month water bill. If you take 50% and tack onto that, that goes up to $1,500. So, look, and that's my personal thing here, but a lot of our tenants, and Mr. Okrasik is one of them, and they are on a fixed income, and it's going to severely hurt. Now we're trying not to raise rents, but you just have to look at everything goes up, and small increases over time would be better than a 50% jump at once. Thank you.
only been here 4 years this coming June. So when I came into town, I found out how the council works, who you are. A lot of you have had good compliments from other people. And of course, our wonderful mayor, which I think he's done a wonderful job. You've heard everything. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. But like I say, I only get $9.68 a month, like Tom said, and at 50%, I have $44 left out of my check. I'm not going to be able to pay my water bill. Now, if I'm out of line, you can stop me. But last year, I know the college does a lot for the city. I know they do. But there's a lot of times last summer, instead of their sprinkler system coming on, they're hooked up to the fire hydrants and watering their yards to keep the campus looking nice. I don't know if they're being charged for that water or not. But I mean, I seen it a lot last summer. They did not turn their sprinkler system on. They hooked up to the fire hydrant. And our water, when I first moved here 4 years ago, our dogs would hack and hack and hack. So I ended up getting, so we do need a new treatment plant. I understand that. Because I end up going out and buying $50 worth of filters, and the dogs stopped hacking. So, and then our coffee pot would stop making brown oily stains. So we do need this treatment, but I can't afford the 50%. And that's, like I said, I hate to be in your guys' shoe to make this decision. But I hope you make the right one. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Scomf and Kirk, it's your turn.
I'm John Scomf with Crowe Horwath, and we did the financial study that has been referred to tonight that came up with the rate increases. And I'll speak, first of all, to Farbest's concerns. And we do appreciate Farbest's involvement. We have worked with them over the past week or so, and answered a series of questions for them, kind of going through what some of their concerns were. I believe Kirk and a group had a meeting with them earlier last week. I had a phone call with them on Thursday, answered some questions Friday as well. And I believe the concerns they brought up have been addressed. I'll kind of go through them just briefly here if I can. First of all, we do understand it will be an increase to Farbest, and we do understand they're a large user of water. And so that is a concern for not only Farbest, but for all of our customers as we go through these financial reviews and through these projects. It's not our goal to raise rates. It's not our goal just to raise them to come in line with surrounding communities. But we do have to look at the projects. We do have to look at how to do them in a financial thing that will keep not only the utility strong, but what we did is we did do some rate surveys to show that we would be competitive with surrounding communities. As far as the short notice and lack of transparency, I believe there's been a lot of transparency here. When our reports were completed, ready to be published, presented to the Utility Service Board, they were put on the website. The Utility Service Board had been studying the engineering before that. I know the Utility Service Board had been working on this for quite some time, but I do understand as you look at it that really, if you watch what was going on at the Utility Service Board, there's a lot of time spent on that. But I think when you talk about short notice, what you're really talking about is when it comes for council action, we need to move the thing forward. We do have projects that need to be done. We have bond issues that need to be done. And we are within all the time requirements that are done by state statute that say you need to provide adequate notice. I noticed there was some comment from Mr. Seger about he believes the report has some flaws in it. We did talk through those flaws with Mr. Seger last week. As far as him believing we should have included more revenue for Farbest, which would have meant a lower increase, we did demonstrate to him that we did look at their revenues over time. They'd actually been using more water a year or so ago, and he explained why it had come down this last year. What we looked at is a little higher revenue a year ago. He explained why it was lower now, but he believed it would come back up. Our thought is that we believe the test year is an appropriate amount to move forward with. and we believe it's a reasonable amount to go with. We do expect industries, as the rates go up, we do expect them to do some kind of cost efficiency, water savings measures, those type of things. And so to try to be very precise and try to pinpoint the rate increase at what we believe to be the highest amount that Farbest may use is not a reasonable way to set rates. I will come down to one of his last recommendations. He had three suggestions. The one I believe that I would agree with is that we should be looking at the rates every 2 to 3 years. And a matter of fact, that has been done by the Utility Service Board, by the Utilities Management as we've gone along. We have looked at rates as we went and looked at what could be done. There has been a lot of cost-cutting measures done by the utilities to make these rates last as long as they have. I know the citizens may say, well, at this point in time, we'd have rather had smaller increases as we went along rather than a big increase now. But I'd say, well, if we end up at the same place now by doing smaller increases, the only people that have benefited from that have been the customers over time. Where we're at this point is we do need these rate increases in the amount of revenue, but it will take a larger jump now. As far as Mr. Seger's comment about expenses, we did look at the expenses and we did make adjustments as you go through the reports, and you can see that we took out some expenses that were non-reoccurring. We increased for some expenses that may increase. I believe his comment was that for the projects we had done or we were projecting, there may be some cost savings, maybe some cost increases. We looked through the engineering reports, and normally that is something that is pointed out in the engineering things that they give us. They did not give us any cost increases or decreases that we could count on. We do know there will be some efficiencies with the AMR project, the automatic meter reading project. But we do know that also as we gain those efficiencies after the project is done, so that may be a year or so out, that there will be other cost increases that basically what we'll do is use those efficiencies to offset those. His concern that the engineering design is only 60% done, that is very common at this point, because what you're really looking at is the engineers have got to a place in their design and in their work that they can tell us as the financial folks that we believe the project will cost X amount of dollars. They will need, before we issue the bonds, they'll need to sign a certificate that basically says in their engineering estimate these bonds will allow us to complete those projects. What we're looking at is just the general course of business is issuing bonds. The engineers get to a certain point that they can estimate the cost with some level of reliability, and then you move forward with the projects and issue the bonds. To design the projects to the completion of it, then basically you've got a lot of sunk cost in at that point, and you're going to have to go forward with it. So what they did is design to the point that we could look at the economic feasibility moving forward, and that's what we've done. We do understand that as you look at the amortization schedules of the bonds, there will be some bonds, our bond costs on the water side will be reduced 8 years from now. However, I cannot use something that may happen 8 years from now to set the rates I need next month or the next year or whatever it may be. We are committed that if that's something the council wants, and it's just a matter of practice, the utility has been doing it in the past, we will look at rates every 2-3 years and make sure that they're in line. Yes, there will be a significant, as we have designed it right now, there could be a significant drop-off in the sewer debt service 10 years from now. But that's 10 years from now, and we need to get there. And as you look at, especially on the sewer side, the environmental regulations that are coming about, there's no telling what could happen next year, 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, that may even cause us to need to do another bond issue to do project. The federal government is putting a lot of new regulations in the water and sewer area, and they come very rapidly, and the phosphorus removal being one of them here, that all of a sudden we have a $4 million, as Kirk calls it, an unfunded mandate, which it is. Kind of going down through the three suggestions that Mr. Seger had is the temporary utility advisory committee. I would say that you already have a permanent utility advisory committee, and that is your utility service board. I would not suggest starting a temporary group to come in and look at everything. I think, as somebody mentioned earlier, you can put a lot more cooks in the kitchen, come up with different recipes, and maybe come up with what you believe to be a different solution. But we have worked with Farbest, and we appreciate them coming in and looking through what we've done and giving us their suggestions. We believe the questions have been adequately answered, and I don't think anybody likes the answer when you say that it's going to take this type of rate increase. I don't think the council members enjoy doing this, But we have looked at it. It has been combed over very well by the Utility Service Board and through the utilities management. And this is what we believe the right solution to be. We have also, last Friday, I got a call from a Far Best representative and asked about amortizing some of the bonds that are currently outstanding over a long period of time. We have discussed that. We've looked through the bond orders, and that's just not practical at this point in time. It would really not be a good financial decision by the utility or the council to take current bonds that are not refundable and try to come up with a mechanism whereby we'd actually be paying interest upon interest to try to accomplish that. Again, his third suggestion is something that, as you look at it, I think we would commit to do and have been doing in the past, and that is to continue to review these. If there is a chance in the future that maybe we do smaller increases rather than larger, that's something that could be looked at. And if there's some cost savings in the future that can be accomplished to keep from doing rate increases, that's what the utility has done in the past, and I believe there'd be a commitment to doing that in the future. So we don't really have a problem with transparency to the extent individuals need documents that the Utility Service Board has looked at that are public documents. They are available, and we can get those to them as we go. And like I said, as far as the rate reports that we went over, they were put on the utilities website as soon as they were available, and technology could get those on there. So I am committed to coming back tomorrow night. I know you've got a lot to consider with what the public has given you this evening. I am committed to coming back tomorrow night as you consider this again, and if you have any questions, I can answer them either now or if you have more tomorrow evening, I can answer them as well as you've had more time to think about. If you have any specific questions for me, I'd be happy to answer those, but those are my general comments after just kind of making some notes on the things that were said. Yeah, we went back, and I think as a suggestion from one of the Utility Service Board members, and just looked at what inflation would have done over the year. And it would have, if we just kept up with inflation through the years, we would be higher than what we're suggesting at this point in time as far as the 50% overall increase. If we'd have just done a cost of living adjustment or something like that over time. And we do understand, and I've been working with Mr. Bushy, and I've been working with the Utility Service Board. They do understand the impact and the hardship that rate increases in general cost. Whether we were talking about a 10 or a 50, we do understand that there is some hardship along with those. And so there has been everything done possible to keep this to what we believe the minimum amount is to be able to allow us to operate in a financially sound condition. So, but as I said before, if we'd have done minimal increases and end up at the same point we are now, the only individuals that have saved money because of that have been the rate payers. But projects need to be done now, and we need to get things in line so we can accomplish that.
John, would you explain to the audience why the people outside of the city limits pay additional cost?
Yeah, and there is and there has been since 2002, a 50% surcharge on outside city customers, and that is, as you look at and we did a cost of service study, what's called a cost of service study back in 2002, and actually demonstrated that it just cost us more to serve outside the city than it does inside the city limits. A lot of reasons for that, but the cost of service manuals basically say that the owners of the utility are the inside city limit customers, and the outside customers need to kind of bear their own costs while the inside cities share all their own costs. And so it's really, we did a cost of service study back in 2002 and showed that there is a cost differential between the outside the city customers, our ability to serve them, and what it is for inside the city. And so, and I know those are kind of general things that you look at. It's kind of hard to say, well, this outside city customer may cost more, but as a group, our study showed that the outside the city customers had that differential in cost in serving them. So Mr. Bushy to answer any questions as well, but those are my financial comments.
question? Comment? Any question? This public hearing is adjourned. I mean, it's over.